CX Ahead, presented by the Austin Business Journal, exploring the future of Austin and the challenges we face. Brought to you by Google Fiber Business. Keep your customers and employees connected. By Unlock MLS. Find your next home at unlockmls.com. And by Cascadia Capital, the investment bank of choice for business leaders.
Hello, everyone. Colin Pope, editor of the Austin Business Journal, back at you with another episode of the ATX Ahead podcast, where we attempt to take a look at the changes that will alter our city for better or for worse for the rest of our lifetime, quite frankly. And as advertised, we're going to do a lot of talking today about the eastern side of our metro, actually the far east side. A lot of people call it the Eastern Crescent, and that roughly follows where the new, relatively new, State Highway 130 toll road runs on the eastern fringes of the metro from the north to the south. And I chance to say that that part of Austin has gone through more changes during the past 2 years than any other part of Austin changed within a two-year period. The growth that we are seeing out there, largely driven by Tesla, of course, Samsung's a big driver too, but the growth that we're seeing out there is just absolutely jaw-dropping, so we're going to talk a lot about that. But first, I thought that we could talk about one of the, probably the most common question that I get as editor of the Austin Business Journal, and that is, well, what's the big news? What's happening and what's grabbing people's attention? And so I can talk a little bit first about the more popular stories that we had in the month of April as I speak to you. April's closing. And a late bloomer just happened a few days ago, but already the top story of the month in terms of most clicked out there by y'all is the Valentina's Tex-Mex barbecue closure that recently just came out. Sudden. Did not expect this. This is a story of a very popular food truck that recently moved into a 6,000 square foot restaurant space in the suburb of Buda, south of Austin. And Aaron Franklin actually has called this his favorite barbecue around here. And Aaron Franklin, if you don't know, is the king of barbecue. I'm sure that it's his favorite aside from his own over at Franklin Barbecue. But this place has gotten high praise far and wide. Lines have been out the door. But as we pull more on this string that is a story line, it is apparent to us over at the Austin Business Journal that this is a restaurant that has some very, very deep financial flaws. And which is a shame because it got public subsidies to open up here. Like I said, it's a very popular lines out the door kind of restaurant. But there's something that's been going funny with the management there. And we're looking into it. And it seems like the whole community is looking in on that one with us based on the analytics that I see. Second most popular story in April was a story that came out actually, I believe, in March. But this is a story about Far East Austin. We're going to talk more about it later in this podcast. But the story about Emerald Island and the Greenport development. They plan a very futuristic suburb east of Austin, developers do. Grand plans. A lot of people don't think that they will come to fruition exactly as they are presented today. Nonetheless, grand plans for several thousand acres over there on the far east side called Emerald Island and the Greenport. HEB buying land over in Manor. That was our third most popular story with y'all in April. And they just bought the land. We don't know yet when they're going to build, when they might open that store. But of course, anytime there's an HEB that is opening or coming to the east side, that is very welcome news for the folks on that side of the town. A lot of people, especially over in Del Valle, complain about the food desert over there. So, keep coming, HEB. After that HEB story, the most popular story on the Austin Business Journal website in the past month was Larry Ellison's bombshell. He is the billionaire co-founder and still chairman of Oracle Corporation, a tech giant, and he has tagged Nashville as the company's next headquarters, which means something to Austin because, well, a couple few years ago, he tagged Austin as the company's new headquarters. And so no word on what that's going to really probably won't mean too much to the Austin area. The experts are saying, you know, when Oracle dubbed Austin its headquarters, not a lot changed. They continued to grow out this nice campus that they've got over on the banks of the Colorado River, just south of downtown, southeast of downtown off of Riverside Drive. they're still adding to that campus. And so, you know, they're adding, growing to Austin. Nonetheless, Larry Ellison says that Nashville, which is supposed to have eventually more Oracle employees than Austin, Nashville, he says, is going to be the heart and soul of that company. So those are some of the most read stories that we've had in the past month. And aside from that, it's a good segue because after that, we start to get into a lot of Tesla stories that were widely eyed by readers out there. And what's the latest with Tesla? Big ups and downs. We started April reporting that Tesla was neck and neck with HEB for status as the biggest private employer in Central Texas. They were both at right around 23,000 employees, as best as we can clock. HEB is pretty transparent with their numbers with us. Tesla less so, but as much as we can tell, they were neck and neck at the beginning of April with about 23,000 employees, which is an amazing feat for Tesla. So consider that. It took HEB roughly 100 years to get to 23,000 people in this region. And HEB was just started down the road in San Antonio. So they are no spring chickens to our economy. Tesla, however, entered the market with a roar. I mean, just 3 years ago is when they started turning dirt on that gigafactory. All of a sudden, we're talking about more than 20,000 people who are working here. But we're ending April with a story about local companies gearing up to scoop up thousands of Tesla employees who just lost their jobs over there at the Gigafactory. There are no shortage of local manufacturers recruiting Tesla employees right now. Nearly 2,700 employees of the Tesla Gigafactory in eastern Travis County, that's about 12% of the workforce there, were laid off a couple of weeks ago. That was constituting probably the biggest single layoff in the Austin metro in at least the past four decades and possibly ever. Is this the biggest mass layoff that Austin has seen? And as best as we can calculate, and according to all the sources that we can get a hold of that we believe are credible on the subject, yeah, this is probably the biggest hit, layoff hit that we've seen here in Central Texas, perhaps ever. Which is interesting because, yes, it did grab a lot of eyeballs, but still you had more people involved in a Valentina story about a local restaurant closing than you did the Tesla news. I guess on one end, it is just somewhat of a drop in a bucket for the Tesla employees. I mean, Tesla still employs more than 20,000 people. It's still a giant. Despite it being the biggest layoff, perhaps, that we've ever seen, not that big of a deal, especially when you consider all of the job options that are out there for Tesla employees. And, you know, of course, condolences have come far and wide for those who lost their job. That's no doubt a gut-wrenching experience for anyone. We had someone who posted on our Facebook page on the Austin Business Journal when we broke the news about the Tesla layoffs. They said, yeah, I had just finished my two-week training on Friday, and now here we are on Monday. I got to the factory for my first day of work, and they told me that I don't have a job. So tough news that was delivered. Some people, at least in one of the other factories in the U.S., I had read, they only found out because there was a long line at the gate to get into the factory that day. And turns out the security guards were scanning everyone's badges. And if you got the red light, then that meant you were laid off. And if you got the green light, you could come on in and do your job. And so not a neat way to find out you don't have a job anymore. A number of local businesses are saying, hey, come work with us. We need the advanced manufacturing or tech talent that has just been laid off. There's a Georgetown manufacturer named Manitex that posted on its LinkedIn page, you know, quote, in light of recent developments at Tesla, our company has job opportunities. So Manitex is hardly alone. Carrie Westland, she's the chief administrative officer at another manufacturing company called Carlane. Carlane posted on LinkedIn, attention Austin community, where you or someone you know affected by the Tesla layoffs, we're currently hiring and we would love to connect with you. So observers of the local economy aren't surprised. With an unemployment rate of just 3.4% in the Austin metro and a growing manufacturing sector, the availability of skilled labor in the region is considered to be in very short supply, has been for years. Manufacturers across the region have said a lot of times to us that hiring has become tight because of Tesla's allure. Let's say you run an arguably boring manufacturing company, and then The employees have the option to go work for Tesla, which is all sparkly, new, exciting. You can guess where a lot of them go. So Tesla kind of sucked a lot of the air out of the room, and now it's letting some of that go to an oxygen-starved environment, if you can look at it, you know, like that. We talked to John Boyd Jr. He is a site selector based over in Boca Raton, Florida. So no real true local ties. So he doesn't have a dog in this hunt. So we always like that he can speak pretty fairly about our Austin community here. But he said that he can't think of a better labor market to be in for any of these laid off employees. He said the Tesla Gigafactory employees are really at a premium for in industries like cybersecurity, semiconductors, and industry. And in total, Tesla CEO Elon Musk said that more than 10% of Tesla's global workforce was being laid off. And so, big picture around the globe, that's a figure that would equate to about 14,000 of its estimated 140,000 employees worldwide. And the layoffs, why do they happen? Well, softening sales in the electric vehicles overall, disappointing first quarter deliveries. Year over year, there was a decline in deliveries of their vehicles, which first time in almost 4 years that happened. So not good news. And apparently, you know, Elon said, well, if demand is down this percent, then so should our workforce. And Tesla, by the way, of course, is based in Austin. And Musk, neither of them have detailed the categories of the positions eliminated in the recent round of layoffs. They just said that they were aimed at shedding redundancies across the business. But we've got plenty of anecdotal evidence that big-time executives, blue-collar workers that were on the line, the shedding of jobs ran the gamut over there at Tesla, which is a shame because, boy, were they on a roll before that. I mean, if you go by and look at the Gigafactory, which when you drive by on State Highway 130, what is the speed limit, 80 miles an hour there, it still takes you maybe over a minute to pass that hulking building over there. Like I said earlier, 3 years ago, that was all just dirt. An untold number of billions of dollars continues to be invested in the Gigafactory and the headquarters. When I was out there recently, they still had cranes up. They still had construction crews adding to the big building that they've already got in operation. Before the recent layoffs, we were up to 23,000 employees, roughly. But even after the layoffs, it's a pretty safe bet that Tesla will be back neck and neck with HEB in terms of being the largest employer here. This is just a company that will not stop growing. And if you go by the Gigafactory, it is so big that employees park in their cars, then they take shuttles to the front door of the factory, if you will. And then from there, a lot of them don't work near the front door. They work maybe on the other side of the factory. So then they're getting on bikes, electric scooters, and they're making the third leg of their commute after they get out of their car in the parking lot. So over there, they're making the Model Y SUVs, the Cybertrucks. There was some good news in late April about Tesla possibly producing its next vehicle, which would be a, quote, affordable electric vehicle. If you know, Teslas are pretty pricey, but Tesla wants to come to the table with an affordable electric vehicle, which it really needs to do if it's going to survive long term because of the pressures that Chinese manufacturers are putting on the company. China car companies are selling electric vehicles for a lot less than Elon Musk are, and Elon Musk relies on markets such as that. So word is that those low-cost vehicles may be made here in Austin. So we're excited about that here in the Central Texas area, at least. But like I said, Tesla has always been a little bit shady in terms of its operations. It does not have a communications or media relations department, so it leaves reporters and a lot of the public in the dust. When it had its grand opening for its Gigafactory here in Austin, it had a big party. My reporters couldn't even get into the party and see the place because it was reserved only for Tesla owners. They just do not care about communicating externally in a lot of cases. So big picture in terms of Tesla's employment here, you know, let's say they got a little bit over 20,000 over there at the Gigafactory site. But keep in mind, Tesla also has facilities in Kyle, south of Austin, up in Hutto. Then they've got service and repair shops kind of littered throughout the region too. And that Kyle facility outside of the Gigafactory is the second biggest real estate that Tesla has here. And the Kyle facility is 1 million square feet and is reportedly focused on batteries. Now, 1 million square feet is almost the size of Barton Creek Square Mall, to put it in perspective. And so with all that, there actually is a chance that technically Tesla is larger than HEB's 23,000 headcount now. But all they really talk about is what happens at the Gigafactory. But best be sure there are more employees at Tesla than over there at One Tesla Way. And then add in all the suppliers to the mothership. So the companies that are eating up all this new industrial space out here. Let's lowball it at 100 suppliers. And some like CellLink in Georgetown and U.S. Ferrothane, that's also in Georgetown, they employ hundreds. Others, maybe just 30 people. So let's just go again with a conservative average of maybe 100 people at these 100 suppliers. That's 10,000 more employees here, largely or exclusively because of Tesla. Let's call Tesla, let's still say they've got 23,000 jobs in the region. That's 10,000 supplier jobs on top of that. So 33,000 jobs reliant on Elon Musk and Tesla today. And Elon Musk's projection, this was before the layoffs, but he says long term, in the coming years, about 60,000 direct employees can be expected in the Austin area or the Gigafactory site. I'm not sure which one, but that would be a 140% increase at the Gigafactory. So it stands to reason that there would need to be a 140% increase in the supplier needs. So now all of a sudden, we're being forced to imagine an Austin where one company is responsible for roughly 80,000 jobs. And that doesn't even count all the restaurant staff needed to serve employees on site or in the area, the construction jobs, the daycare jobs. So in just a few years, we could be talking about 100,000 Central Texans making their livelihood off Tesla. In many ways, we're blessed with such an economic bounty, but that's a lot of eggs in one basket, and it concerns some people, especially after a week when you had the layoffs, and it just scares a lot of people out there.
ATX Ahead, presented by Google Fiber Business, the award-winning internet service that keeps your shops and offices running. Get plans with speeds up to 2 gigs and all equipment included. Learn more about GFiber Business at fiber.google.com/business. Unlock MLS marks the intersection of knowledge, humanity, and home. For nearly 60 years, we've fostered the most complete, accurate, and timely housing market data for the 18-county Central Texas region. Find your next home at unlockmls.com. And by Cascadia Capital, the investment bank of choice for business leaders, providing trusted financial advisory services to entrepreneurs, family business owners, and financial sponsors for more than 20 years.
Look at our biggest employer before Tesla, HEB, run by the Butts family, Charles Butts right now. Nobody has ever worried about demand waning for HEB. Nobody has ever heard of mass layoffs at HEB. Nobody can conceive of Charles Butt firing off a tweet that hurts sales. And I don't think Mr. Butt would tell the CEO of Bluebell, so Bluebell Ice Cream, the big revenue generator for HEB, I don't think anybody could imagine Mr. Butt saying in public, you know, go F yourself, CEO of Bluebell. Those are all true stories with Elon Musk. He has done those things. We live in interesting days now that he is one of our big local entrepreneurs. Now, Tesla has indicated it wants to be a stand-up employer. The Gigafactory, it's right on the Colorado River. And when it was announced, there was talk that Elon Musk would create an ecological paradise along the banks of the Colorado River. And beyond that, the public would be invited to enjoy it at any time. We haven't seen any evidence of that starting up, but apparently that is on the books long term. Now, all of that Tesla action is impressive, but Elon's local workforce is mightier than what you see in Tesla. There's the brain chip startup Neuralink ramping up here. X is adding jobs to the area, but more notably, SpaceX and the Boring Company are sudden forces on the east side of our metro. And we have some drone images on our ABJ website that take a look at the SpaceX and the Boring Company complex. The two companies are just right next to each other, basically. And it's about 20 minutes east of ABIA in Bastrop. And it's been reported that about 1,200 people work at these sites so far. When we took our drone over the Boring Company complex, you know, we saw a handful of homes out there. They've got a company store. They call it a bodega. There's tennis courts. I think I saw a pool down there. And then the Boring Company, it grabs a lot of headlines with its fantastic mission of tunneling roads and maybe hyperloops in the future underground with big boring machines. And when you look at the site, it's evident the testing has begun because you can see these big tubes going under the road from boring company to the SpaceX building. So you don't really need crosswalks when you're in the business of tunneling. But, you know, the Boring Company, it hasn't struck many notable deals. It's doing some work in Las Vegas, but that's about all the chatter. Locally, we did see it tried to sell a tunnel idea to the city of Kyle down south, in fact, where it took a lot of real estate for its battery operations. But city officials down there in Kyle ended up saying, no, that's not a project that's good for us. SpaceX, however, is flying high and seems to have a bright future. In fact, I've been told NASA and America's Space Program just simply can't do without this company. And at its site outside of Austin, SpaceX manufactures things for its Starlink system, which is a series of small satellites that are launched into the air. And a lot of people confuse them for UFOs when they're going up and being launched. But anyway, these small satellites cover the Earth to provide folks with internet access. And the SpaceX building is already huge. I counted 45 bay doors on one side of the building. Then it's got a lot of raw land around it where no doubt Elon Musk and his crew will probably build more as SpaceX continues its maturation. Those companies alone from Elon Musk are, you know, game changers for any city. I don't care how big you are. But you plop them out there in Far East Austin, where there's towns like Weberville that you probably have never even, you know, heard of. Or if you heard of, good luck if you've ever been there. But these towns are just changing so dramatically. And the Deep Pocket developers are certainly noticing some of the bigger developments that are on our radar are out there. Velocity, you'll want to look that one up in the ABJ archives if you haven't heard of the Velocity development. I'm not going to say it's the next domain, but the Velocity is a huge project that has just started going vertical. They're doing some apartments out there right now, but once Velocity is completed, it's going to add thousands of homes, retail space, hotels, about 100 acres of green space to Southeast Austin. And this has been in the making for about a decade. It's going to take a good decade or so to flesh it out, but just a lot of big buildings that are coming to Velocity, which is really just a little bit east of Austin Bergstrom International Airport. So they can't build too high there because they're that close to the airport. Look for Velocity the next time you're driving out east of the airport on 71. One of the other big developments that we've been looking at is Colony Park, which is a California-based firm called Catellus is building that one out. So it partnered with the city to build housing and commercial space over the old Robert Miller Airport, actually. Now it's knee-deep in Far East Austin with a site called Colony Park. And it's 208 acres, built out just west of Lake Walter E. Long, kind of near Decker and Loyola Lane. So 3,000 residential units, about 230,000 square feet of office space, 130,000 square feet of retail space, 42 acres of parks. Estimated cost is about $250 million, but I'm sure in this day and age, it's gone a lot further than that. So nonetheless, that is a big one that we're watching. And then also over on the east side, as you're driving, picture yourself driving down 183. And you're just getting ready to go over the Colorado Bridge and swing to the left on those big bridges, and then you'll see Montopolis over on the other side. Well, just before you pass that bridge heading south on 183, when you look to the right, you're going to see, if you look close enough, a Borden Dairy factory that's over there. If you look over to your left, you're going to see nothing but marshland on the side of the Colorado River, maybe a little house over there or something. But those are going to be two sites to watch. The Borden Dairy factory, Endeavor Real Estate Group, which built the Domain, it's built some downtown towers and knows how to build big. Endeavor Real Estate Group is going to be building out, it hopes, that Borden Dairy milk factory in the coming years. Facing a little bit of a problem with environmentalists. There's a wildlife sanctuary right there near the river, right there next to the factory. And, you know, I guess the factory can operate. They're worried if more building is done there, the environmentalists are actually suing to stop that project right now. So, and then on the other side of 183, again, heading south on 183, before you pass the bridge, there's a bunch of blank land, and that is not going to be blank land for much longer. There's a San Antonio company called Kyroy. And again, another big developer, no stranger to building tall, tall buildings. But Kilroy has permission to build maybe 18-story towers over there next to the bridge on 183. And if you're not familiar with that area, I will just tell you that is dramatically different than what you're going to see there. So that's just a snippet at some of the big projects and happenings that are over there in East Austin. We've got some in-depth special report coverage on our website. I think that the best thing for you to do is just go and search East Austin on our homepage, and a lot of these stories will pull up. We've kind of recapped some of what was shared at the recent East Austin Grow Summit. We invited about 400 business and civic leaders to get in a room over at the Circuit of the Americas, and we talked about some of these big projects and the issues, including workforce development issues, which we got into in this podcast, but we talked about that at that big meeting. So we've got some wrap-up coverage of that event and a lot of the projects that I discussed on this podcast, and then many more that I didn't have time to discuss on that podcast. We go into detail on the Austin Business Journal website with photos and maps and in-depth reports on what is planned for these sites. So I hope you have a chance to check that out, because like I said, I don't think that there's been a corner of Central Texas that has changed so fast and so quickly. So thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Colin Pope, editor of the Austin Business Journal. I will see you for the next ATX Ahead podcast.
ATX Ahead, presented by the Austin Business Journal, exploring the future of Austin and the challenges we face. Brought to you by Google Fiber Business. Keep your customers and employees connected. By Unlock MLS. Find your next home at unlockmls.com. And by Cascadia Capital, the investment bank of choice for business leaders.